Parshas Rabbanim. I wanted to do two things. First, I wanted to very quickly run through the concept of the Yom Tov Yeshuas. It could be, I don't remember, I don't have such a good memory, but I think I once spoke before, so I probably said it before. So I just want to run through it in 5 minutes, because it's important. And then I want to talk about a different, more about the Kinyan HaTaira. The Yom Tov Yeshuas, just to quickly run through, I think most people know the Ramchal explains, other people, the Beis Halevi, that Yom Tovim in Klal Yisrael are not days that we commemorate days. It's not birthday parties, anniversaries. But Pshat is that every day has a special Kedusha. The fact that something happened on that day is a Siman and a Siba, that day is special and has that skula for whatever is supposed to happen on that day. And therefore, if on Shuas, what happened on Shuas is not so clear, first day Pashtus was not Pashtus, according to most people, the Kabbalah Satorah is really the second day of Shuas, which really means that the second day of Shuas in Chutz Yaretz has special Chashivas, which the Mephorshim do say that the second day of Shuas is more Chashiv than most 2 day Yom Tovim. So the Kabbalah Satorah was, because Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra day, Kabbalah Satorah was supposed to be on the first day of Shuas, but Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra day. So on the first day of Shuas, what happened is that Klal Yisrael reached the Madrega that they were roy for Kabbalah Satorah, that Hashem was ready to give them Kabbalah Satorah, and on the second day of Shuas, they actually got the Torah. So according to the Ramchal and others with this basic Mahalach, what means is that the day of Shuas, both days are Mesugal for Kabbalah Satorah. So we say in the davening, it's Man Mountain Torah saying that the Torah is re-given every Shuas. It's the best day to learn Torah, to be kind of the, since Klal Yisrael became Roy the Kabbalah Torah, it's the best day to be kind of the Midas, the Torah's Niknes Ba. Okay, that is the simple Pshat in Shuas. It's like every Yontif. The Shloh, however, says a second Pshat, which is, he brings it from an early Kabbalah Sefer, Tferes, I think it's called the Tferes Yaakov, I believe. I'm not really into my Kabbalah Sefer, but I think it's around an early Kabbalah Sefer, that he says that Shavuos has another dimension, and that is that we know that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, and whether a person will live or die, with Tishrei. The reason for that is Hayom Haras Olam, the world was created on Ahav Tishrei, so he says that Gashmiyus world was created in Ahav Tishrei, but the Ruchniyus world was created on Shuas. So therefore, just like Hayom Haras Olam has become the Yom HaDin for Gashmiyus, for Chayim, so Shuas is the Yom HaDin for Ruchniyus. And he brings many rayas to this from the Maran Rosh Hashanah, but he says we find very fascinating certain similarities between Rosh Hashanah and Shuas. We have that before Rosh Hashanah, we have Elo, and before Shavuos, we have Sfira to prepare. We have in the Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara says that before Rosh Hashanah, we always lay in the Tochacha, and we likewise have that's the Tochacha in Kisavo, and we also have the Tochacha in Bechukosai that we lay in before Shavuos. So therefore, what comes out is that both Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah have similarities because they're both considered Yom HaDin. One's a Yom HaDin for Ruchnias, one's a Yom HaDin for Gashmias. So that's another component to Shavuos. And it's not just a day, I shouldn't say just, but it's not only a day where has a Mesugal for reaching higher levels in Ruchnias, in Torah especially, but it's actually a Yom HaDin for the entire year in Torah. We believe there's such a thing as saying Chalkeinu B'Torah Secha. Each person gets a Chedek of Torah. According to the Mephorshim, that Chedek actually changes every year. And the Gzar Din, according to the Shloh, of what a person's Chedek in Torah would be, is Nigzar on Shavuos. Doesn't mean you'll necessarily get it, but apparently from this, at least according to the Shloh, you can't get more than Chalkeinu B'Torah Secha. There's a certain Chedek that you're set for you. You can't go beyond that Chedek. So therefore, a person on Shavuos is nigzar what his maximum amount of Torah will be, what his siyata tishmaya will be, how much, you know, he'll have help in siyata tishmaya, etc., which will really probably interpret in very likely in what is success in learning. Okay, so therefore, there's two inyanim shvuas. One is it's a day that's mesugo for hatzlacha, for both days, and also it's the yom adin. What does that mean? The ma'isa. So we mentioned that on Rosh Hashanah, the Mefarshim say there are two things we do for the Yom HaDin. We obviously do tshuva, but we also find we do something else. We have in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, people are nizer and fast palter. You know, it's not nothing with tshuva, because here they have in mind that they're going to be nichshol, those people who do eat it during the rest of the year. So it's definitely not tshuva. Tshuva has to be azivas achet. There's no aziv esachet. If you're planning on going back immediately after Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the Chinuch says that the reason why we fast on Yom Kippur is that we should be on a higher madrega, because a person who's fasting is separated from Gashmias, he's on a higher madrega. So the problem is that if it's that you're going, well, again, you're coming back right after Yom Kippur. So the Chinuch says it's a din of Asher Husham, that a person is judged by Sher Husham. So there's an inyan of raising your madrega on the day of the Yom HaDin, even if you have no intention of continuing. So therefore, that is why we have the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we try and raise our madrega. That is why the Chinuch says we fast in Yom Kippur. So according to some Mefarshim, that's an added reason. Most people don't know this reason, why some people stay up all night, Shavuos night. Everyone knows the reason, because of Kabbalah Satira, they were sleeping. But the other reason is that you want it to Yom HaDin, just like the Chinuch says that on the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we fast so that Bashir Husham, we should be on a higher Madrega. So it's likewise on Shavuos, which is the Yom HaDin for Ruchnius, we stay up all night to be on a higher Madrega to show of learning. Of course, what that would mean that it's not just at night, you're supposed to try and learn all Shavuos, to me as much as you can. I think as mentioned, they say over from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that people's the minig in the world is that they stay up all night Shavuos and they wake up for Elo, which is obviously was a joke, but is not what's supposed to be. The Shlah who brings a minig of staying up all night actually says if they stayed up both nights and all day, didn't even take a nap during the day, I'm not recommending it, but the concept at least is that on Shavuos, both days are special days that one should learn extra. Okay, that was just a quick introduction. Okay. What I wanted to do is to go through a little bit some of the Memches Varim, the Torah Nitnisba, and stop on some of the different ones that are, and just to try and be Mechazik some of them. The first thing that Torah Nitnisba is Talmud. Talmud actually means to learn. To learn, we usually use the word hasmada. Now, obviously, that's the first step. You have to learn. And the Maisa, some people do learn, some people learn more, some people learn less. Why is it that people don't learn perhaps as much as they should or could? So the usual the reason is because we're an inus. We can't. We would like to learn, but we can't. So Rav Brook Zatzal, and Sion Brook, and his Sefer Gyanu Musar, brings a beautiful, beautiful story, which is, I think, it's a true story. It's a tremendous chizik. He says that right before the War of Independence in Israel, so if you know the history, the British were in control of Israel. The British did not let the Jews have any weapons. The Arabs, on the other hand, always had weapons. They had knives and whatever they had. Plus, the British liked the Arabs, and when they left, they gave the Arabs all their weapons. Plus, there was already some Arab countries that were already independent. I believe Jordan and Egypt, I believe, were already independent. And they had armies, which were trained armies, which definitely with weapons. So everyone was expecting a chas v'shalom, a bloodbath, when the British leave. So the one thing that the Jews had was a little seichel, and they had these secret ammunition factories where they were making weapons. And was one of these factories, right, those who know the Davidka Square, it's right near the old Kalamon Mirkaz, that was called now. So there was one of the weapons that they made. And this was an ammunition factory in Yerushalayim, and it came close to the day that the British were leaving, and the head of the factory called all the workers and said that, you know, it's a very dangerous situation, Kuach Nefesh, and we're going to have to work 7 days a week. And we know that even though many of the people here are Shomer Shabbos, but everyone knows, even religious people know, Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, so we have to work 7 days a week. What can we do? So it says everyone agreed, except one person decided he's going to go ask the Shaida. So he asked his Rav, says, well, Tishashinsky was his Rav, and on the spot, he told him, Usser. Usser? Why is it Usser? It's Pikuach Nefesh. He said, Pikuach Nefesh, what time do you end work every day? Work, spend an extra hour instead of ending, how big of a lunch break you take. In Israel, take a 2-hour lunch break, right? You take, instead of a 2-hour lunch break, take a 30-minute lunch break. Instead of ending at 7, end at 8, end at 9, end at 10. Kind of pikuach nefesh. No pikuach nefesh. So Rav Brook said, it was so poshut. It took Rav Dishinsky 1 second. But why did no one else think of it? So he said, because no one else cared enough to think of it. When you don't care enough, it's the easiest answer in the world. I'm an Inus. Can't. Inus is a very, very convenient. Inus Rachmana Patre. But if you care, and you think, and you strive to figure out, there are cases when people are Einsim. But very often, not usually, there's a solution. And one can figure out that one is really not an Inus. So it's a... I know we were in Eretz Yisrael, there was a very big tzaddik, Rav Yitzchak Zilber, the tzaddik. He was born in Russia, I think in 1917, and he's a known person. They say Rav Yoshev said it as a value, one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. So he kept every single mitzvah in Russia. And he came to Eretz Yisrael in the probably the 70s, they say he met Rav Putner, he was a buck, I think, in Bava Yishalmi. And he said, Rav Putner, I think he said, told him that he must tell his story. So he used to go to all the yeshivas and tell his story of how he kept all the mitzvahs in Russia. He had an unbelievable story. But one of the stories he used to tell, that he was arrested for whatever reason and he was sent to a labor camp. He says, in the labor camp, in Russian labor camps, you weren't allowed to, no leisure time. You had to work. They had it set up, they had jobs, you had to work all day, and then you had to go to sleep. That was it, or whatever. He says the bunks had lights on so they could see what you were doing. You weren't allowed, obviously. So there's no time, impossible to learn. There's no time. You're hard labor all day. There's no books, no svarim allowed. And there are lights. They see you. But he says, mitzvah Talmud Torah. He has to learn. So he says he looked there and figured out in the camp that there was one job in the whole camp that they didn't have set hours. Didn't have set hours because it was such a hard job that they figured that it's humanly impossible to do it anyway unless in the hours that they designated for the labor. And that was to bring water to the entire camp. So he somehow got that job, volunteered, whatever. Said it was the hardest job in the whole camp. And he had it to hair. If you run with the water, you have 2 buckets on your back, if you run, you save time. So instead of walking, he said he used to run. He ran with the water. He said he actually got a few hours every day. He could sit and learn because he finished a few hours early. And he was able to get the water at Friday for Shabbos. So you have to mechad on Shabbos. Had other tricks, whatever. But so he said, okay. So he solved the time problem. Svarim, so he said his wife smuggled in a little teeny mishnayos. But they know you're not allowed to learn. So see him sitting and learning, like this is a vacation home. So he said that there was one barrack that they stored the old rags, you know, where they stored, you know, they're not going to throw away, you know, good rags inside wherever they in the Russian labor camp when the uniforms are ripped. So they stored all the rags there. So he got himself switched into that barrack. And when he got his free time, he would run under the rags. And he would learn there with his mishnayos. So he used to demonstrate. He used to always tell the guys, bring your blankets. He says, I trained myself to see in the pitch dark. I don't know how you can do that, but that's what he said, because it was pitch dark under the rags. But he trained himself how to see. So he used to learn a few hours every day in this labor camp. So that's, you know, example, prisons and Aynes. So we would say, Aynes, Aynes Rachmana Patre. But if you're driven, there is an Aitza. So that's for, now that's obviously applies to people who have perhaps learned less time every day, but it applies even to people who learn all day. Because no matter how much a person learns, you can always probably find another minute somewhere. I saw in a sefer said the Chafetz Chaim switches shoes from shoes with shoelaces to shoes without shoelaces. Because he made a cheshbon that it takes him a minute a day to tie his shoelace. And he made the cheshbon a minute a day is basically approximately 360 minutes a year, which is 6 hours. He said, if you live, say, 70 years, assuming, you know, make math easy, 12 hours a day, but that's not really right, but okay, you know, waking day. So if it's 6 hours a year, you're tying your shoelace, so in 70 years, you're spending 35 days of your life, waking hours, tying your shoelace, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. So the Chafetz Chaim says, I don't want to waste 35 days of my life tying my shoelaces, so he got shoes without shoelaces. It's brought, there's a sefer, it told us Adam. It says that Rav Zalman from Volozhin, Rav Chaim Volozhin's brother, his shirt that he wore when he went to sleep, he pulled the sleeve down and he tied a string around it so that he had, you know, he made his own gloves. Because this way, when he woke up in the morning, he could learn. His hands were clean. Usually when you go to sleep, your hands, you don't know what your hands might have touched your body. You can't, now you can do hearer, but you can't speak and learn it. And I'm sure he watched Negavasa right next to his bed also. But for about 1 minute, he couldn't talk and learning. So he had to figure out this trick that he could keep his hands clean so he could learn an extra minute. Right? So there are Aitzes. Obviously not every Aitzes for every person. Rav Zuckerman Zatzal used to tell us that he was in Kovna during the war. He said there was the Torah Avram was the Mashkiach from Sabaka Yeshiva. So apparently the Russians came into Kovna and Sabaka and they confiscated the yeshiva. They turned it into like a game room or something. And they also gave them to put them to labor. So they were, and obviously they didn't give them such great gashmias. So he told the Bachrim, he said, that we used to think that we were learning with such hasmada, mesiras nefesh. You know, we learned all day under a terrible gashmi situation. You know, the yeshiva food's not so good, whatever. He says, now we hear that we were battling with ashiras because the Russians made us work much harder than we worked in yeshiva. And the food is much worse. So what we weren't learning them, we were bad doing, and we were ashiras. So there's always, okay, the ma'isa, a person, each person, obviously, on his own level, has to figure out an eitza, how he can go ahead and learn more. That's the simplest step. You have to make a cheshbon where you can find a hole in the day. And the best thing is after you find it to make a commitment, because the problem is always in all these things that even a person gets inspired, but inspiration has a tendency of being lost. So what you have to do is you make a commitment, you commit yourself to a chavrusa, you somehow at least commit yourself to a set seder, at least, even if you can't get a chavrusa, at least to yourself. So you have a commitment, you start a Seder, that's really what is the whole reason why Daf Yomi is so successful. Part of it is because there's a commitment. You can't miss a day. Miss a day, you blew it. You miss the whole day, you can't finish Shas if you miss a day. So the person has to make some kind of commitment. Best thing is with a Chavrusa, so he's totally with someone else. Obviously, I'm sure the Kodo is really, Baruch Hashem, a great opportunity. And this way, we can go ahead and add extra time in Hasmada. Okay. The next thing, or really what I want to, is that in, it's also in the Memches Varim, that is, it talks about the Dinas Halev, I believe it's called. Let's look at the words exactly. Shmias Ha'ozen, Dinas Halev. And that means that basically there's learning and learning. There's learning, a person can learn. Rameir Chodesh used to say this mashal, I've said it many times, that a bacher is sitting in yeshiva working on a tesis, all the bacher working on the same sugya, saying the chabura, and he got stuck on a kasha, and he's sitting for an hour thinking about this kasha, he can't get pshat. All of a sudden, one of his friends walks over to him and says, oh, you're working on that tesis, I got a kasha for you. And he asked him the same kasha that he himself was stuck on for an hour. He says, without even thinking, says, what? You got stuck on that kasha? It's so pashut. And he'll give him an answer. What happened? Because his brain works better because now someone's challenging him. His gaiva is covered. You know, oh, your guy's asking me a question. If I can't answer, it's lying to me. He got me. So what he couldn't for a whole hour, he couldn't figure out. In less than a second, he was able to figure out. So that means that it's not just the time that you put into learning. There's the quality. There's the concentration, the focus. It's brought down, the Mashkiach from Lumza Yeshiva used to say that to get 5 minutes of good concentration, he needed 5 hours of warm-up. Now, most people don't do 5 hours of warm-up without interruption. But that's what he said, because there's different levels of concentration. So he said it took him 5 hours of constant thought so he could get to the 5 minutes that he could really focus. But that is so it's not just the learning and time, it's also obviously the quality of the learning. The person has to be focused, obviously, learn the right material, but have the right Rebbe, and it's how you go about the learning, which also makes a major difference. Okay. I wanted to stop on a few more that people are perhaps not so familiar with. There's one of the Memches Varim, it says here, Barichas Vasayim. Barichas Vasayim is that you move your lips. So this is something that many people do not do. And I'm still blaming my English teacher from elementary school that taught me not to do this. And when we read, we were taught that you're not supposed to move your lips because, you know, it goes faster, whatever. But in learning, it's a mitzvah to verbalize it. To hear of how much the difference is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Mechaber Paskins, that you don't have to make Birchas HaTorah in the morning if you do not, if you're just having hearer, if you're not saying it with your lips. The Gra, the Bir Halacha brings, that the Gra argued, because the Gra said, how can you not make Birchas HaTorah? So there's a mitzvah, a Gitzah B'Yom V'Laila. So the Chayi Adam answer, Nishmas Adam says, Mish Bir Halacha brings it, because it's really the Iker mitzvah, you're not being Mekayim, which is hearer. The Bir Halacha says, even the Gra, who argues with the Chayi Adam, also agrees you're not being Mekayim the Iker Mitzvah, but you're for Tza'i Mitzvah. So the Machlokes is that for a Mitzvah, since there is definitely a Mitzvah of learning Gisa B'Yam and V'Laida, but that's not the Iker Mitzvah. So the Iker Mitzvah, Talmud Torah, is talking. So to Adkidei Kach, that there's no Inyan, according to many Shitas, that's how we Paskin, like the Mechaber. But okay, I don't want to start with Mechaber and Gros. But the Pashas, the Mechaber, Paskins, that there's you're allowed to have hearer because it's not really Talmud Torah. So again, obviously, if a person, if the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, if you're learning Be'iyun, and that's the way, only way of learning, then that becomes the way. If you're learning with a Chavrusa, he says it's a Dinah Shomea Ka'ina. But the Maisa, a person who's learning by himself with a Gemara, he's supposed to be to have a riches to move your lips. The Gemara says as a marsha that Doag was a Talmud Chacham, And we know that story in the Gea, it's a little bit to Shavuos with David, with that. But he went off, and the Gemara says that he did. The reason why his Torah didn't protect him is because he didn't say out the learning. He just learned in his head. So there's a besides the mitzvah, there's also the skula. Other people say another advantage of Arichus Vasayin that when you talk the words, your ears hear it. So you really get Bevas Achas, two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of speaking Torah and a mitzvah of hearing Torah. Definitely a Kedusha. There's a special inyan of hearing Divrei Torah. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that it was Rabbi Yeshua says Ashrei Yaldav. And why was Ashrei Yaldav? So one of the Mefarshim is based on a Yeshalmi, is because his mother, really Rashi, the Bar Tanuras, you know, that his mother brought his crib into the Beis Medrash, so that when he was a baby, he heard the Divrei Torah. Didn't understand it, but he heard it. So the Hashpa of hearing Torah went ahead. That's what says it's an amazing thing. That's Rabbi Yeshua, the great Tana, became who he was because he heard Torah as a baby. So the Hashpa of hearing. So when a person speaks Torah, besides the mitzvah of speaking Torah, you also get the tremendous mitzvah of hearing Torah. So there's a double advantage there. So either way, it's something that many, many people are not sufficiently nisar in, and that we should be nisar in trying it as much as we can to verbalize the Torah. I used to love when I had a chavrusa, and he used to let me read all the time. But when one's learning by himself, a person should go try and be careful. You know, again, when you're doing Ian, it's difficult. But at least when you're reading it, it's a much greater mitzvah. It's a skula, and it's a bigger kiyum mitzvah if you verbalize a word. It also says something which is pretty obvious, but I have to stop on it. It says one of the memchas varim is, it says taira. Taira is holiness. Very ambiguous word. The simple pshat at taira means that the person's brain should be tar, which basically means that the higher, we have an amazing gemara, that the world stands on the hevel p'em shel tinoika shel beis rabbah, which is pashas of pli atzuma, because the tinoika shel beis rabbah don't learn be'ian. I don't want to say they don't even learn. Sometimes they don't even know what they're learning altogether. But they're very. It's not such a high level of learning. They don't necessarily have the highest kavana, the shem shemayim. I don't know if they're learning to call lishma, and they don't know all the right kavanas and the shem Torah, and they're not doing it. The Torah is supposed to be with concentration. It said Ian. So why should there be such a tremendous madrega of the learning of the tinoika shel beis rabbah? It holds up the whole world. But it's because, it says, because the tinoikas shel beis rabbah are learning mitaira, because the tinoikas don't yet have a problem with hurim. So that the advantage of learning mitaira, obviously it doesn't mean that if you don't learn mitaira, it's not a mitzvah. It is obviously a mitzvah. But the advantage that a person gets if he's able to learn mitaira is an amazing advantage. And therefore, you know, it has to be said, even though it's obvious, is that in today's dar, taira is a major challenge, and for everybody, and especially for the students in yeshivas, if you have children, but even for adults, and we have to really do things to make a protection of taira. We have to have gedarim. We have to have gedarim, especially for our children, whether it's on the phones or on internet. Not to have, or if you have to have filters and everything, whatever else. But people, many, many people are lax, and it's obviously those who people who are in chinuch will tell you that when you speak to young men, many of them have major problems, and it's very, very often they would love if their parents would do something about it, and they're too embarrassed to ask their parents. But it's a serious problem. So that's definitely Pashim Shan and Taira, that it's a higher level of learning. What's interesting is there's obviously another Pshat of Taira. Taira just means in the hands being clean, that you're So there's in the Chazon Ish, you read the pieces and they have the biography of the Chazon Ish, they have the letters of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish writes very much, it was very makbid on having clean hands when you learn. So I saw a Maisa, it's important, there's a sefer called Maisa Ish, means a Maisa Chavetz Chaim. It said that there was a certain someone that it was a person, his name was Meir Monk. He says when he was a child in Cheder, he was in sixth grade. I don't know how old you're in sixth grade in Israel, but probably before Bar Mitzvah, I assume. So the Melamed took him to the Chazon Ish to be tested. So after the test, the Chazon Ish said, well, I want to give them a little hadracha. You think, what's the Chazon Ish going to tell 12-year-old kid? Imagine he told them. He said, make sure that you keep your hands clean. Meaning, not clean, you know, that if you touch a makom mechusa in the body, that you wash your hands before you learn. Right? I don't know. I don't think this is what we tell our kids. But it's something that maybe we should. It's something, you know, that's an ikar. People, you look in Beis Medrash and people are learning, and while they're in the middle of touching who knows where, and I'm not saying it totally passes the learning. The Chazon Ish said that it's a skuda for the learning to have Kaim Kedoshim. He says that he happens to say it's a losa say, because when your hands aren't clean, so you're more likely to forget the learning, and there's an avera of not remembering Torah, so you're over the yisur of not remembering. But whatever it is, so there's definitely an inyan which many people are not as nizarin in the tire. Okay, the last one I want to talk about, we'll see, maybe the last one, depending how much time I get after I last one. But it says here, Shemesh HaChomer. Shemesh HaChomer means to be Meshamesh Tamid HaChomer. So there's a Levush Mordechai. Levush Mordechai was the Rosh Yeshivas of Baka. He quotes us as follows. This is in his Hakdama to Baba Kama. He says, Yesh Limud v'yesh Limud. There's learning and learning. So there's a Gemara in Kedushin that if you're a person who you can ask him a question in any Mesechta, even, he knows one Mesechta, even Mesechta's Kawa. Mesechta's Kawa has about two blot. And he knows Pshat well, he's considered a Talmud Chacham. So there's a Gemara in Brachas that there was a Rami Bar Chama did not want to be mitzari for a certain individual for Birchas Hazimut, even though that individual learned Sifra, Sifri, and Hilchasa, because he wasn't Mishamish Talmud Chacham. Therefore, he considered him an Amoritz, and the Rishayim say, therefore, he considered him a Rasha. So he can't get bench. So he says, you have basically the one person knows two blot well, he's labeled a Talmud Chacham. The other person, this is his Lashon, Moshe Mordechai Epstein, v'zeh lomad ko ha-shas. He finished Shas. He read, this was in the time of the Chazal, Sifra, Sifri, Hilksa, that was all Shas. He finished all Shas. And he's called an Amoritz, not just called an Amoritz, he's not, you wouldn't bench with him. Right, I can't bench with you. You can't join me for a zimun because you're a Russia. Because he says why? Because you weren't mishamish tamid chachamim. So what that basically means is that if a person is not mishamish tamid chachamim, even if he learns, short if he doesn't learn, it's almost a psik resha that he's going to be doing averis. And this is a very important thing. A person, basically, it means a person has to have a Rebbe. A person has to have a Rebbe to learn from. A person can learn on himself. I know there was, in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Rabbi Rakov. He used to tell a story. He learned in Chavetz Chaim in the 30s, 20s, I don't remember when, that he says that when, at that time, the Yeshiva's father of David was Yeshiva of was really in Tarvidas, not Chavetz Chaim, was in Rashiva Tarvidas in the 20s and the 30s, early 30s. And in Tarvidas, He says that the frumest group in Torah V'Das was a group called the Malachim. There was a group that's still around. Rabbi Weberman's father was a Malach. They're a Kosher group. They were the frumest group in America. They were called the Malachim. So they were obviously in Torah V'Das. And he said, Rav David, as the Rosh Hashiva, he had certain disagreements with some of the Bachrim and certain Hashkafas. So he decided, oh, go and argue with the Bachrim, he'll argue with the Rebbe. So he went. The Malachim were Hasidim of the Rebbe. The Rebbe was called the Malach. The Rebbe lived in Spring Valley. And he went up to Spring Valley to speak to the Malach. The Malach actually learned in Radin. Rav David also learned in Radin, so I assume they knew each other. And the Malach was obviously was a chassid, but he was learned in Radin. And so he went to this Rabbi Rakov went along with his Rebbe to Spring Valley for this great debate between the Rav David, who then was Rosh Yeshiva Torah V'Das, and the Malach. And he said, basically, the debate went that the Malach kept on saying, "Oh, America is such a shver medina. People don't have Yiras Shamayim. We have to teach people Yiras Shamayim." And Rav David said, "No, the problem is not lack of Yiras Shamayim. There are many sincere people. The problem is they don't have Torah. If you don't have Torah, you don't have a Rebbe, you can have all the Yiras Shamayim in the world. It's not going to help you. You'll do the worst averes." And that's what we have to teach. It's not the ikar that we have to teach is Torah. And I have this big debate, and of course, no one agrees. But okay. But the Maisa, that is an Isa Ashkafa that I think that we were taught, that besides that Torah brings the Yiras Shamayim, Rasi Yitzara, Rasi Torah Tavim, but if a person doesn't have Torah, what it says here in this Gemara, what the Levush is saying, is that a person without Torah learned property with a Rebbe, you're not on the Mizamin with him, because he's kosher to do Kol Davar Aser. Without Torah, a person doesn't know. There are so many stories of people who were very, very sincere and very, very motivated, and they basically went ahead and they were, they did things that were not right. I just want to mention in Rus, the Inyana Diyama, we have that, we know the parsha that Naomi basically convinced Orpah to leave, and she tried convincing Rus to leave. So there's a Gra. The Gra says, why did Naomi try and convince him to leave? And why at the end did she stop? So the Pasuk says, "Vatera ki mitzametzes hi lalachas ito." So the simple pshat is that Naomi saw that Ruth was putting up a fight, that she really wanted to go. She's fighting to go. She wants to go. So the Gra says an amazing pshat. She says she was fighting because she didn't want to go. She was fighting herself. She says, she says, Naomi was afraid that it was an aveira for Ruth to be Megayer. Why? Not because Ruth wasn't sincere, but even if a person's sincere, but if you're not ready, you're not ready. You're doing things that you're not ready for. You'll be Megayer, now you're excited, and next week you're going to lose your enthusiasm, and then you'll have a gear who's doing aveiras. It's better not to be Megayer. So Naomi was afraid. And that's what probably was happening with Orpah. Why she didn't want Orpah to be Megayer? Naomi was afraid that it's an Aveira for Ruth to be Megayer. She had no way of knowing, is it a mitzvah or an Aveira? So she said, there's a way to tell. If it's a mitzvah, then the Yetzer Hara fights against it. The Yetzer Hara fights against it, it's a mystical thing, then it's hard to do. If it's an Aveira, then the Yetzer Hara doesn't fight against it, then it's easy to do. So Vatera Kimitz Ametz as Hilalachas. So Naomi saw that Ruth had trouble doing it. Wasn't so pasha to be Megayer. Wasn't so pasha for her to walk. She had trouble walking, keeping up with Ruth had trouble keeping up with Naomi. Even though Ruth was young, she had trouble walking. She said, if you're having trouble walking, it means the Eitz Hara is fighting. That means that it's a mitzvah. So go ahead and be Megayer. Okay, so there's many dehairs you can take, but one simple dehair, and the point that we're talking is, Ruth was going with tremendous mesiras nefesh. Every the Chazal said her father was a king. So she's going with tremendous mesiras nefesh. She's giving up the melucha to go to be a peasant, a pauper, with no future, getting married, no nothing. And Naomi was choishesh. Naomi knew Ruth. And she saw her sincerity, whatever. She's choishesh. It's an aveira. Which means a person can be going with mesiras nefesh, a person can be giving up his life, and you know, you come up, Lacher may have asked, what happened by Rus, it was a mitzvah. But, Naomi was able to figure it out, but it wasn't mukrach. The fact that she was going with mesiras nefesh did not guarantee that it's a mitzvah. And there are so many stories and maisim of people who went with mesiras nefesh. And we all that, you know, they were, you know, they might have been very sincere, but they weren't doing what's right. I remember Rav Pleshinsky used to tell me that Rav Pleshinsky was a Rav Ardavin's son-in-law. He was Rav Yosha's brother-in-law. Rav Ardavin was also Rav Yosha's father-in-law. He said Rav Ardavin was basically, I don't say beaten up, but there's a bunch of people, they put nails on his chair, sticking out from the other side, so then sticking out nail from the bottom. So when he would sit down, he'd be in for a little surprise. And then they basically threw him out of the shul. For whatever reason, they had some kanois. They didn't like him for some reason. So he never could daven. He says he was a minyan, chazan kavua, and the vasika minyan for like 50 years in that shul. And he could never go back because they basically threatened him that they would take care of him a little better next time. So I don't know. I assume that was not such a big mitzvah. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, they stoned Rabbi Yashiv. You know, I assume that wasn't such a big mitzvah. They stoned his car, I remember. So, but I don't think it was such a big mitzvah either. So there are people that can go ahead and be meiser nefesh. So part of it, what we believe, is that they're not mishamish talmid yachamim, even if they learn. But if you're not mishamish, if you don't have a rabbi, and you don't have someone who mimadrich you, you can go ahead and you can be like this person in brachas, you can learn all shas, but you can still be doing who knows what kind of aveiros, because you need it. Sincerity is not enough when we need hadrachah, and we need, that's what it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So as a conclusion, you know, for the Shruas, I think the two obvious main kabbalas that I would emphasize, but is first of all the mechazik and the hasmada and learning. Everyone should try and find some area where you can add extra learning. If you can add a whole Seder, you make a Chavrusa in the Kolo, obviously that's wonderful. If you can find an extra minute, it's also wonderful. Person, whatever one can do to add in the Hasmada, and obviously we said in the quality also, the quantity, the quality, the learning it right, the Bitis Vasayim, the Taira, that's an amazing thing. And the second thing, which is equally important, is that everyone has to make sure that they have a Rav. Something that's not so in style today necessarily, but a person has to have a Rav, and he has to have a Pesach, and he has to have someone that he can ask his shaitis to, and because otherwise, Chas v'Shalom, person can be sincere, but it's not a guarantee. So by Be'er Hashem, by having learning, Basmada, and having someone, Mishamish Talmid Yachamim, then Be'er Hashem, we can be Zeicha for sure for the proper Shavuos.